Welcome back to Quiver, the Green Arrow podcast. This is our third episode. Yay. For... what's the name of the episode? Lone Gunman.
Ooh.
In which we get to meet Deadshot. And a little bit more information on that that dark archer from last episode. And a whole lot of other things come to light. Actually, this was a pretty big episode of the three so far. I think we got a lot of information, or at least a lot of the characters shared a lot of information with one another.
That's true.
So we're finally, I feel like everybody's on the same page, particularly right at the end of the episode, but we'll wait for that.
I did feel this episode went faster than a lot of the other ones. We turned it on like in the very last, basically second to last act, and we're like, wow, they have to wrap a lot of stuff up.
It was at 55 minutes, and it was like, how are they going to do everything that they've kind of set up in the last 5 minutes of this episode? That last 5 minutes was packed.
There was
a lot in 5 minutes. But before we get to the episode, let's talk a little bit about the news. Biggest piece of news being that
22 episodes.
Yeah, picked up for a full season. So that means a lot of things, and we'll touch on a couple of those things while we're going through the episode when we get to those pertinent areas. but most importantly is that we're gonna get a whole lot more Arrow, and like we've been saying the last two episodes, I don't think that the end is anywhere in sight. We're gonna be. Like I said, we posted on the Facebook page, Arrow is going to keep going, which means that Quiver is going to be around, and you guys seem to be pretty happy about that, and the downloads are looking great, and...
Thank you very much for listening, it's fabulous.
You guys are awesome on the Facebook page, and sending in emails and stuff like that already. We've only done two episodes, and we already have all these people interacting with us.
Keep the conversation going, it's so exciting, we'd love to hear from you.
So. It's really cool, so... On that note, why don't we hear from one of our listeners now?
I will. So this was on our Facebook comment on our second episode.
Yes.
So it's from Estonia Stampley, I believe is how you pronounce the name. So she says, loving the podcast, you guys. Couldn't wait for your review of the second episode. However, I was surprised neither of you mentioned the book Ollie found in his dad's pocket on the island. In the first episode, we see the book with a list of names and a bunch of other stuff. She says here, perhaps his schematics for all his arrows, and we assume that his dad gave him the list or type of info. But then we see in the flashback, dad just shoots himself in the head with no revelations to Ollie about who what is bad in Starling City. And then in this episode, Ollie gets the book and it's blank. So that was we saw that he when he pulled it out of his dad's pocket and it was blank. We didn't comment on it, and I just assumed that perhaps Ollie wrote the names in there retroactively, he had heard about it from his dad. And I apologize for not commenting on that. I just sort of was like,
I didn't even notice that it was empty. Okay. I honestly thought I thought that the book had the names of everybody already in it. Mm-hmm. So I think we'll get the reveal at some point of exactly how he got all of those names and how all of that went down.
Yeah, and she does comment here in the rest of it. She's like, does this mean Ollie made up the list in his head on the island? Were there past events he remembered on the island, so he came up with the list remembering these people were bad even 5 years ago? Just exactly where did the list and everything else in the book come from? I hope they reveal this to us as the season goes on. So do we, Estonia, so hopefully that does happen. Mm-hmm. And she signs off with, can't wait to hear the podcast for episode 3. So you're in luck. Here it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, great comments. It's those small things that we miss that we don't comment on that we really like to hear from you and get to sort of put a bit of conjecture out there, because you have some really good points, this idea that maybe he's just thought of stuff on the island, or maybe the list came from all these people we're now discovering on the island. Maybe it's not even related to his dad, right? Maybe it's just something... Maybe everything's related to his dad. Maybe the island, even all these people on the island are related to his dad.
That's the thing, right?
Like,
so
all this stuff.
So I think you were saying before we were getting ready to record that you were saying, I don't think that there's a lot that I have to say about this episode.
I know, yeah.
But you're already, we're already into, the second half of the episode
Fair enough.
So let's get started, and we'll talk about it. first half of the episode is very, like, character-driven. Mm-hmm. Second half of the episode felt very, like, plot-driven with seeing the Dark Archer and the revelations that they're not alone on the island all of these other things. So I think we're going to have lots to talk about.
Okay, good. It's going to be exciting. It went by so fast. I think this episode
It did.
And here it goes. It opens again with the narration, the famous narration of Oliver Queen telling us, just for those people that haven't watched the first two episodes.
Yeah.
Which I don't know why, when you're starting a new series, no one's going to come in the third episode and be like, meh.
You know what? They always do this on new shows, and they do it, like, for the first five episodes, just in case.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think nowadays, you don't have to worry about it, because people will just go online. They'll just go on iTunes. They'll find ways to watch it, right? Yeah. But we see yet another one of Oliver's ridiculous contraptions for working out. He could just go to the gym like a regular person, but instead
he has to lift the bricks because.
But he like all that work to put it together, and then he just breaks the cinder blocks.
That's part of his thing, though. He likes to build his contraptions and make them a little bit homemade-y, except that they then look like awesome sort of metallic arrows. You know, it's all good. He has to spread it out somewhere. I think he likes the homemade aspect of it. It's nostalgia for the island when he had to make everything himself. Maybe he's used to lifting logs.
That's fair.
It's how he became who he is. Oh, and this gorgeous rooftop pool overlooking the what is that, BC Place?
Yeah, BC Place and GM Place.
It's gorgeous. Look out across the water there into downtown. I really love wherever they found this location. I think it's fantastic, and kudos to them. I want to find it. It's fantastic.
Yeah, so we get this kind of a jerky rich dude up on this rooftop, and Oliver is shown up and shoots the
with the guards. He's like, they're not gonna come. Yeah, the guns are there.
Yeah, they won't hear you. And then he tosses the guns on the ground. So Oliver is kind of confronting this guy, and more than like I assume that he went there to kill this guy. Like he's killed.
No,
other
he was probably gonna do the same threat that he did previously. Remember with the
possibly.
Last guy, he was like, change this or else.
Yeah. But before Oliver can get to do what he came there to do, somebody from across the street shoots this guy.
I was worried that his blood got on the bullet, and that's why he was freaking out about shot. But I was proven wrong. Apparently, the forensics.
If this were CSI, we'd be worried about that. But because it's not like it's not quite that forensic.
Fair enough.
Right? Like we're more concerned with the story and the characters than we are with the hows and the whys of the crimes that are being committed. Right?
I guess so.
This is great. He's you commented on his awesome scars.
I know. And then, isn't it great?
And then actually. That's funny that we get to see that scar so up close because now we know what that one's
So,
and we see him stitching himself up, which is really cool. He crosses the name out of the book.
Look, the episode's done already. He accomplished his task for the episode.
Well, this is good because this is what I said last week is that I hope that it's not just every week.
Yeah, because it was getting procedural. We're like, look at this.
But right off the bat, we're going to switch up the way that this is going
to
work.
Oh, and so, you get the poison right here, and he knows what to do, and he's got these instincts. So again, there's so much that they're not telling you. Obviously on the island he encountered this poison before. He has the anecdote for it in this magic mystery box, which I love. It's like his tickle trunk. It's great. He's got everything in there.
Tickle trunk. The green arrows tickle trunk. That's awesome.
Got everything.
That's what we're calling it from now on. It's the tickle
green
trunk.
Green arrow tickle trunk.
Yeah.
It's good. Oh, and then you flash back. See, and then you've got the arrow, right? It's great. They slowly are. I think that they did establish a lot of things in the beginning.
They did. It's amazing that this is only the third episode, and we've already got all of this backstory, all of this history for the character.
Like, and they show parts like when he's running through the forest with the bloody shoulder. They've shown that footage previously, so they really knew where they were going. And here we have sort of it's kiboshing your theory from last week with the archer here that we're clearly there's people on the island that are not Ollie's imagination. Which is kind of unfortunate. I want the parallel universe where that actually happens.
It could have been a cool story, but instead we're going to get this one. And
this is how we learn Mandarin Cantonese, obviously, which is great.
And this guy looks intense.
Yes.
This archer. We're just going to keep calling him the Dark Archer until we have something else to call him.
Fair enough. I like how they're doing this interspersed, too, between the two worlds.
Yes.
They found their cohesion now, I think, really, in terms of,
it's good. It's really good pacing in this episode. I think that was probably that was probably why it went by so much quicker, and it had this nice flow to it, going back and forth and keeping the story moving. Whereas I think in the last episode in particular, it felt like it interrupted a lot.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough. Whereas this one, you know what it could be related to? Like, the theme of the episode is sort of this idea, mm-hmm. like this poison. There's something in this backstory that we're getting, especially as it goes later on with the Russian mafia and all that stuff. Like, there's lots that is sort of related to his past. So I think perhaps that's why there is a little bit more of an overall story arc here.
So we get this establishing that Thea's been getting herself into more and more trouble, and it's escalated to the point that her and her friends have broken into a shop. And the cops are bringing...
They didn't break into a shop to steal things. They broke into a shop to try on clothes.
Yeah, to try things on. And the queens have paid off the shopkeeper to keep it out of the news, which I think is interesting. Like, that's an interesting angle.
There's a lot of sort of amorality in this show, which I think really mm-hmm. fosters Ollie's sort of mentality, where, like, he's just surrounded. He grew up in this world where sort of there was this line that, I don't know, wasn't very solid, and I think it sort of throws out...
Well, their money could just buy them out of any problem, and that kind of goes back to what his father was saying, which is like, I made a lot of mistakes to get to where we are, but, you know, you have to fix those mistakes, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so Oliver's kind of back there, and he's been through this trial, mm-hmm. and he's come out of it a better person, and he's back in the world that he's come from, and it just... It's so different now. He looks at it and he goes, I can't believe
that
I acted this way and that you let me get away with it and all that sort of thing. So the cops here are Detective Lance and his partner here, they're trying to figure out who shot this crime boss or this tenant. I guess he's like a landlord or like...
Oh, yeah, like a
developer or something like that.
But you get this idea, like, I really like Detective Lance, right? He doesn't, he's not stupid, and he understands what's happening around him and in the city.
Yeah.
You really get a good idea of his character and how he's going to play out throughout the series. They really aren't disappointing with him, really. They're really keeping a consistency of character, and I really like that. And they're really paying attention to the details and understanding. Yeah. He understands who the Green Arrow is, I think, right off the bat. So you get that.
Well, I think from last episode when... The arrow clearly could have killed him and chose not to, and instead gave him the evidence that they needed in order to move forward with that case. I think that he's, like I said, he really hates him because he's breaking the law, but more so he hates him because he's accomplishing what the cops can't by working outside the law.
And here we go. We've got all the tattoos all over Deadshot's body and, you know, kind of creepy with all those names. I don't know, but we haven't seen his face yet. And I thought they were going to do, like, a big reveal where they're like, oh, look at Deadshot's face.
Show the eye and everything, right?
You know, they didn't really. So I'm kind of didn't you just show his face in this scene, too?
Well, it's very interesting because later on we do see him and he doesn't have... The eye isn't a permanent thing.
Yeah.
In this episode, which is very interesting. Yeah, And this was a really interesting storyline that they decided to go with, which is that he's going to open up a club
above
in the warehouse above the Arrow Cave.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah.
And it's actually really clever
because
it accomplishes two things. The act of him doing this shows that he's a very clever individual, but then in the writing they have a real problem because for Bruce Wayne he just builds the Batcave under Wayne Manor because it's just him and Alfred, and Alfred's in on it, right? But for Oliver, nobody knows his secret, so he has to have this cover of like, I need a place that I can be during the night that people won't question where's Oliver Queen while he's at his club, right? He's gonna gentrify the neighborhood, as he says, which means that he's gonna give back, which, you know, it's an interesting way of looking at things.
And I will say, you hopped on this gentrification thing, and we get more of Diggle's character in this episode. And specifically, he's talking here about the idea of a white knight coming in and sort of saving people.
Yeah.
But his own idea of what that is. And you really get the second layer to Ollie's character about, like, his intentions. Should we question those? Right? Like, even just in the simple act of him wanting to open up a club, Diggle is, like, the perfect... outlet for Ollie to talk to, because Diggle really goes, well, what is your intention here?
Yeah.
And is it the right intention? Like, have you thought of these other factors? Which I think will come in really handy, because it's like a small thing. It's not killing people, whereas Aziero, he's killing people.
Yeah.
So that's another layer to that character.
But this
as well.
this is very much along the lines of the comic book Oliver Queen and his very liberal agenda of like
of
helping the little guy and all that sort of thing. The stuff that makes him different from Batman, to be perfectly honest.
Right.
Because Batman is just, he's fighting a war, right?
Right.
Whereas the Green Arrow is trying to, he's a little bit more on the in the vein of Superman, where he's trying to lead by example and to give the people something to hope for, rather than just fighting this unending war, which is what Batman gets into, and it's all that darkness and everything. So and we've got Laurel obsessing about Oliver and her friend. What's her friend's name? Joanna. There we go. Thank you. Closed caption. Just in the nick of time. Sort of confronting her and being like, look, you need to get over this guy. The only person you've had a physical relationship with is his best friend.
Physical.
Because we had to establish that they've been getting it on.
I don't know if that was necessary. I got that in the first episode.
It was unclear at the end of the first episode whether or not they were just close, or whether they were starting a relationship.
Okay, but this is my thing. I'll say it this time, and I'll stop harping on it because I did it last time. The idea of telling us three times in an episode the same thing. Because later on, Thea says they were like
screwing. She says screwing.
So why then the physical relationship line here, just to set it up so that later it's not a shock? Like I don't know.
I think just to make sure that we were all on the same page, so that we could react the same way that Oliver does, because Oliver knows and kind of has that stone face reaction. So otherwise we would have been like, oh, what a revelation, right?
Yeah. Yeah, what a revelation. I was shocked by this.
Obviously,
news.
But
no, fair enough. And I mean, it's interesting. Laurel's in an interesting situation. I was worried that they weren't gonna have her in this episode. I don't know why, but because the first act or two went by and she wasn't there, but I mean, serves me right for thinking that, because obviously she's like a really main threat and they're really integrating her a little bit more, which is good.
Yeah. So we're back with the sort of family drama stuff, which I find is the weakest part of the series.
The thing that's bothering me the most about it is that they're setting up the mom as they're like, let's look at this character when Ollie's not around. Right?
Yeah.
Like, this idea of, like, what is she proving in her relationship with her daughter? Like, are they trying to make her this sort of, like, multiple personality where, like, she is a really good person, but she made a bad choice, or, like, she's evil as well? Like, this idea with, like, the Lionel Luthor thing, right? Like, that he is sort of... He is sort of mischievous, but he also like does it for good. He has good intentions.
But I think with Lionel Luthor as the example, we knew right from the get-go that he was willing to do pretty nasty things in order to get what he wanted.
But
right?
We don't have that with the mom.
I'm unclear about her. Except at the end of the first two episodes where
they like have to show it to you. They're like, look, she's this bad person.
Yes.
And now they're like, but she's also a mom. I don't know. That's why the family stuff is and here he's like parkouring up the side
of
this building.
Yeah, time for some parkour.
This is fantastic. Oh, it's like a telephone line.
Oh, okay.
That's what that line was.
Okay. Yeah.
Walking through.
All right,
everything.
Yeah, okay, so sorry. It wasn't his one of his harness lines or something.
No, he's just scaling up a wall. Super great. And I wondered what he was doing. He's getting the bullet. Like, this is brilliant. I don't know. It's just showing me.
Yeah, this was really cool.
How cool.
At first, I thought that he was trying to find where he shot him from.
Yeah.
But he was finding the trajectory so that he could pull a bullet out and trace the bullet, essentially.
Yeah, it's really fantastic. I don't know. There's a lot of more of Ollie in this episode, I would assume that he would go out in his Arrow costume to scale a building and find a bullet.
Yeah.
But I get that it's like broad daylight. I don't know. He's sort of skirting in this episode around the like Ollie.
He does, but I think we're playing fast and loose with the superhero conventions here.
Yeah, fair enough.
Because he really doesn't care if people hear his own voice and sort of like see parts of his face or as we'll see when he goes to the mob, they just see him for who he is.
But
and put it like, I think that we're just not going to put this story in a world where we need to worry about those things, right? Okay. It's just going to be kind of like, we're going to go with it, and let's just assume that not everybody will be able to put two and two together.
Okay.
And that he's just not particularly concerned, and that the majority of people aren't going to go, it's you know, that's Oliver Queen, he must be Green Arrow, right?
Well, and this is, I'm interested, they're throwing all these little things in here that, like, finally some good news when he finds out about it being the Russian mob.
Yeah.
I want to know why, like, what is this with the Russian mob and him? Obviously, there's so much stuff that happened to him on the island.
Yeah.
They've set up so much stuff in the beginning that hasn't even told us.
He's a character that has five seasons worth of information
that
we don't have yet, right? Yeah. And this is the first episode where we've really seen that is the case.
Yeah. Okay, and this is, and then he's wearing the ball cap going to the Russian mob, but then he takes it off. Like, I don't really understand his sort of thing here, where he's like, sometimes it makes a difference that I'm wearing a disguise, and sometimes it doesn't. But I'm curious, because he shows a tattoo or something, right?
Yeah, he shows this tattoo on his chest that says that he's a captain.
To one of the observers.
To one of the observers from Fringe. A little bit of crossover for you.
Yeah.
But
it's, I want to know, like, there's obviously something to that, because is that his actual tattoo that he shows him? Oh, and look at this badass gun takedown. Great. Doesn't even blink. And that's it, yeah, like, that weird star tattoo that he's had that we're kind of like, what is that? And that's obviously something that he's had for a long time, like, he didn't, like, make it up, so... Interesting. Maybe all of the tattoos are things that he didn't have before he went away. Like, he was very Abercrombie and Fitch before he left. I don't know if that really suits a tattoo-type personality. Perhaps all of those are island tattoos.
Yeah.
Right? We haven't really actually discussed that angle before.
No, yeah.
Which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's there's so much that we don't know about the character at this point and what he has been through and what the timeline is on that.
Yeah.
We don't even know for sure that... when he got rescued from the island, that was the 5-year mark.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Because what if that was 2 years in or 3 years in, and then he had like a year or two of putting together the list and doing all of the research and all of this other stuff.
He didn't have that. He didn't have the tickle trunk when he was rescued off the island.
No, but it had the Chinese writing on it, right?
Yeah, and it had all this stuff.
Although, now that we've been introduced to this archer, to the Dark Archer character, and we see that he's Asian, and... all of that, more than likely, I'm going to assume that all of that stuff came from him. The trunk and the bow itself.
Oh,
and all of that arrow knowledge is coming from
him. We should check
him.
If that's the same bow. Did we ever check if
I don't
maybe
know.
There's
I don't know.
Something
we'll
on the
to,
island?
We'll have to watch
we'll
it
watch
carefully.
It. Ooh,
yeah.
Exciting. We'll have to see if that's the...
So he's just made a deal with these mobster guys. They're going to look into this bullet and try and trace it back. Or not the bullet necessarily, but try and
find out
who would use that type of bullet and that poison so that Oliver can track down Deadshot.
And then you get the weird reveal of his face where it doesn't even mean that much. They're not even like a big reveal of his face, right?
No.
If they're like, misdirect, we're going to show you his face. Oh, but he's just a regular dude.
Yeah, just a normal looking dude. Just Michael Rowe, sans digital eyeball, right?
Yeah,
very interesting, and we have some theories on that towards the end of the episode, but that was actually kind of a big shock for me, because being familiar with Deadshot and being familiar with
one
a lot
of
the DC stuff, I expected to see him with the eye right away.
Yeah.
We did see the eye earlier when he was shooting.
Yeah, but we didn't get a good look of it.
Yeah, but it's not permanent.
Oh, and here you go. So this is introducing the secondary storyline, or you're understanding what's going on. Actually, I guess maybe this is the primary storyline, but so many storylines. But the idea that they're bidding on, I don't even know what they're bidding on. I don't think I even care. Industries. There you go.
Yeah, just a company.
A new buyout of a company, I guess. Okay.
Yeah.
And then you really have this antagonistic relationship between... Oh, he just is so good.
Jesse Lance is so good at
on-camera scoffs.
Yeah.
Because some actors, there's not a lot of people that can pull that off with camera time on them for like a reaction, but they really are utilizing him to the best of their ability, which is fantastic.
Yeah, Paul Blackthorne. He's really, every episode, he's just stand out with his performance.
Oh, yeah.
And he's really good in this one.
The mom is kind of funny. I'm overwhelmed by the concern that Detective Lance is showing for us. There was some, I feel like they're finding the humor now.
Yes.
Now that they're the third episode in, because they're finding everybody's character a little bit more, and they're really working on this character development stuff. So I feel like they worked. Even Tommy Merlin got a few good.
It wasn't quite things. So stilted as it was in the first two episodes, where it was like, I got to get a zing in. Right?
They're learning how to write, I think, for the actors and the circumstances, which is nice. And which is just one of those things that I think it would just took a little bit of time. So
like I said last episode, I think we were maybe being a little bit too harsh, wanting it to be wanting it to be too polished too quickly. But yeah.
Oh, this is great. A great burn on Diggle.
Yeah, they just ditch him.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I've never seen this guy before in my life, ever. And then he gives him the wink, which is just like, that's Oliver. Like, that's not part of his put-on persona or anything like that. Like, that's his relationship with Diggle now. Right. Like, the two of them have kind of gotten to this point where he's like, you know, I'm going to ditch you, and we have an understanding.
Nice. Oh, man, I just feel for these extras dancing in all their shoes and... I don't know, just there's so many of them.
You're gonna worry about that, yeah.
But it's good. I mean, they've really filled out this club, and
so they've yet again they've magically run into Laurel.
I know, it's like, ooh, they're both gonna go to the same club.
Yeah, yeah.
What a stinky situation.
And guess what? Thea's there too.
There's only one club in Starling City.
Apparently.
Wow, it's good. It is getting into the club business.
It is the opening, or it has just opened, so it's the cool new place.
Oh,
to go,
okay.
Right? So
I like that they had that line in there because then it makes sense that all of them are there fabulously. But you know, it's good. You've got the sister here and the so-called friends line.
Yeah, so that she can reveal to Oliver that they've been. "Quote unquote screwing," very classy, Thea. But an indeterminate amount of time again while you were gone, like just at some point this started happening.
It seems recent. I kind of like their reactions to it. That Tommy seems genuinely upset, and I'm not sure, like, he just feels guilty about it.
So here's the thing after this episode. I don't think Tommy is a bad guy yet. I think I might have been premature on that.
Yeah.
But you had a theory.
This is my thing, is that I feel like they have such an opportunity here to set him up as the jilted lover. And, like, the idea that, like, she, like, will be with him, and then that she just cannot get over Ollie, and this idea that, like, he was a replacement while Ollie was gone, and that if Ollie was just gone again, it would make all the difference, and that they would be together. Which is, I mean, maybe not the, like, deepest sort of drive for a character, but it still is something that they can play with, right? Because he really seems to care for Oliver.
I don't know. You know what? They took 6 seasons to get to it, but that's how they broke Lex and Clark's friendship, right? It was all over Lana.
Yeah, fair enough.
At the end of the day, right? That's what did it, really. That's what drove the initial wedge between them, and then it just got worse and worse.
Oh, man, they are just getting beat on.
Yeah, they're getting their butts kicked, and then
Laurel
shows up and
kicks
some
butt. Oh, my gosh. Like, it's just great. Which is
so
nice. That stance, she just it becomes a different person. Like, do you see her hands where she was kind of like punching her fist into her hand and like, I'm so badass and I just kicked your butt.
Yeah.
Like, it's a different character. That
completely inconsistent. Completely inconsistent with last week.
This is what we were talking about. She's the most inconsistent character of everybody.
But this is the character that I think we wanted.
Yeah,
right?
It is. This is the character that we want. This is who she is. And this idea, like, I love this line. I don't need your blessing, and I don't need your forgiveness. I really like that line. Like, that is who I want to see, and in this episode, I'll give it to her.
Yes.
She was consistent.
Yes.
Right? Like, she had the one thing where she was sort of, like, looking on the internet for him, but that wasn't, like, that was just a sort of, I guess, who knows what was going on. She had different things, thoughts and stuff, but of all the episodes, this was really the episode where, in the end, and she's, in the end, too, I'll skip ahead, but where she was like, Tommy, don't be stupid, he knew.
Yeah.
Like, this idea that she's, like, she's not dumb, and she understands Ollie.
She's playing on the same level that Oliver is, which makes me think, with a 22-episode pickup, they've done 13 episodes, no mention of her being Black Canary yet, but with that back few episodes now, they have the opportunity to introduce Black Canary before the end of the season.
Well, and you get...
And I think based on what she did in this episode, that's where they're going with
it. Oh, yeah, definitely. Which is... And I mean, she... If they keep this character that they've established in this episode as, like, her new sort of...
Yeah, if that's the template. If the way that she behaves in this episode is the template for the character,
then I think they
will be good. Yeah. She'll grow into that a little bit more.
For sure. Man, he really does not look good as this sort of, like, Abercrombie and Fitch boy with his hair and his running through the island. I love that he's got these board shorts on. Like, it's so clear that he just got off a boat where he was just, like, on vacation on a boat.
Yeah, he is not equipped to deal with these scenarios.
Yeah.
Like being caught in a net or shot through the chest with an arrow.
Yeah.
And, you know, he gets caught in the net, and at first I assumed that net was from the Dark Archer character, right?
But
we're going to find out a little bit later that maybe not so simple.
It's like, yeah.
They keep on adding all these layers to it as we go.
Which is good. Yay for the layers, Arrow. Keep doing it.
We mentioned last week about, like, the show hasn't really proven what it is to us. And this episode, I think, went a long way to saying there's more going on here than what you think. So all of those things that we've been speculating about, I don't think that we're too far off with having that attitude towards the show.
Yeah. I love that Diggle Maker, like, it's his sister-in-law, which is interesting. They're setting up Diggle to have a lot of, like, backstory in here. Interesting. And look at Arrow being really, or Ollie being really intuitive and saying brother out of the picture. Like, this idea that he gets what's happening there, like, with the...
And then we find out a second later that the reason why the brother is gone is because he got killed doing the job that Diggle is doing, and which is foreshadowing for later in the episode. Yeah.
Well, you also set up the idea of the class divide in this episode.
Yep.
Like, the idea that Diggle brought up the idea of gentrification and who are you helping, and then they bring him into a diner where his sister-in-law is working, right? So it's this idea of, like, they are really setting that up, I think it's interesting. It's making it...
It could make for a really, really interesting theme for the show overall, and like I said earlier with Ollie's liberal... leanings, sort of with that left-wing mentality that the character has classically had. Mm-hmm. I think setting up that sort of the one percenter versus the 99%, and him sort of it's that extra layer that Green Arrow has that Batman doesn't, like I said before. Yeah. So I think you're right. I think that what they're doing is they're establishing Starling City as its own character in these things without hitting us over the head with it, like they have with some of the other stuff, right?
Sure.
This is a little bit more on a wider scope.
Yeah, which is great. And then you also have, I just wanted to point out a little bit about Merlin's character in here too, that he really takes everything Ollie says at face value.
Yeah.
Which makes him more inclined to be a villain, I feel. Yes. Right? Like this idea that
when he feels really like he's been betrayed.
But just because his own brain is not working at the same level that Ollie's is in terms of their, like, honest relationship. Because when Ollie came back, there was a clear, like, who Ollie was before he left the island was on par with Tommy.
Yes.
But now he's gotten to a different level, and he's pretending to be who he was before with Tommy. Yeah. So it's this idea of, like, it just leads to, this is just, like, another layer that can lead to, like, a betrayal or...
Just like Clark and Lex, it's going to be one of those, if you just would have told me from the beginning... Yeah. There would be no problem.
They're so painful.
Oh, it's bringing all those feelings back from, like, seasons 3 and 4 of Smallville, where you see that.
But it's also a cop out. It's like, would it really have made a difference? Would you really not?
Of course
not. Have been a villain?
Of course not. It's like, it's always the excuse of the villain, right? That it's the hero's fault, right?
When you have this funky laptop with the blueprints. It's good, and then Deadshot.
Getting ready. He's prepping for the...
Look, they had no gun equipment or anything in this hotel room. He just seemed to have a laptop.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting. And then Arrow, of course, comes here as Arrow. And you've got they're both very perceptive. I feel it's nice. They sort of are setting up all these other people that they're bringing in, all of his villains. They're setting up as sort of foils for his character.
Yes.
In terms of how they are working. They've all been... assassin-like characters that Ollie is then being like, well, why are you assassinating the people I'm assassinating first? What's your motive?
Yeah.
And it's just this interesting sort of...
We're not setting up, like, it's not like in Smallville where we had to have... Clark was responsible for, like, half of the meteor freaks.
Yeah.
Well, and the other half of it was just that the meteor rock drove everybody insane.
Yeah.
So it was always these really lame excuses for why the characters were evil. Whereas with this... they're really just crossing paths because they have the same end game, but their motivations are very different.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and then here we have the sexy IT girl with her glasses and her blonde hair. I don't know.
I can't tell if this was a throwaway character or if they're establishing something.
It had potential. I would have liked it.
Yeah.
That's why I feel like they perhaps gave her a lot of dialogue.
Yes.
Which would be nice if this was something that they're carrying through.
Yeah.
If they don't carry her through, it really bothers me that this scene was so held.
I do like this actress. Mm-hmm. I didn't like the way that they are using her. I didn't like the very transparent attempt to make her geeky, obviously she's all that scenario where if she just took the thing out of her hair and took her glasses off, she'd be hot, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think is a little bit silly. They could have.
I think she looks hot with the glasses.
I got no problems, no complaints. But they put the glasses on her and tied her hair back to make her look more geeky.
Well, and they threw in the lines that are not super awkward, but kind of awkward.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't awkward enough to be awkward. They were more awkward trying to be awkward.
Yeah.
Which is the thing, which I guess is the thing that bothered me.
Yeah.
Again, if they bring her in a second time, maybe they'll get the character right and they'll start writing for that character and find the awkwardness in the genuine awkwardness in that character.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now it's very surface. Which is fine. Let's hope.
But he does need a tech person.
He does.
So
that's fair enough.
I would like to see that character come back and get fleshed out a little bit.
I feel like, and it's, I don't know, like, I don't know if you watch Criminal Minds, but Penelope Garcia is one of my favorite people on television. Like, the idea of, like, the smart IT person that really just, mm-hmm. like, gets it and you don't have to be in the same, like,
mm-hmm.
I just think that that's a cool trope and hopefully they bring that in. I like it. It's the idea that they're, like, setting up a Speedy without having to have Speedy, right?
Yeah.
Like, someone that, because they have all these characters now that we need to care about in different ways.
See, the thing is that you've got the original Speedy and then you have, Connor Hawk, who is his son, and then you have the second Speedy, which was the female Speedy, and then you have Arrowette, who is kind of related to Green Arrow, but not really.
Ooh.
So there's a lot of potential for a lot of characters to show up, a lot of these.
And they've already packed in most of them in the first three episodes.
Yeah.
God,
yeah,
I remember
exactly.
talking about Deadshot in the first episode being like, remember it took them 7 seasons in Smallville to bring in Deadshot. I wonder how long it's going to take them in Arrow.
I love how we're just completely talking over the scene between
the mom
again.
It looks like the exact same scene.
I really hope that they figure out what to do with these characters to get them into the stories a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because right now
they're superfluous characters.
Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care about his sister, particularly because these characters are characters that don't exist in the comics.
Yeah, well, but the one thing I'll give them in that line is the idea that they were talking about the dad, and it's something they hadn't done before.
Yes.
So, you know, fine, fair enough, another layer, like this idea of... anyways, so yeah. I don't know. And then she just is like, I thought you said it was your laptop. Clearly it's not his laptop. I don't understand how you... Oh, and the Hamlet reference. Oh my God. The Hamlet reference.
The ham-fisted Hamlet reference.
Oh gosh.
It was a little bit much, and they were trying to show that this character is intelligent.
But Hamlet! How do you not know Hamlet?
Yeah, well...
Well, that's... I don't know. I find it very odd that Ollie doesn't know Hamlet.
Or just that his whole scenario is Shakespearean to begin with, right?
I don't know.
But
you know what's interesting? It's setting him up as not smart, though. Maybe that's what the purpose of that was. That he's intelligent, but he's not, like, book smart.
Well, yeah, it's all learned sort of on the street, although it was an island without streets.
Yeah,
but it's very, it's very instinctual knowledge. Like, he's clever. That's how I always like to
put it.
And
you know what would be nice? If she knew he could actually say all of this dialogue without having to do a monologue over his silent face. He could just be to her, hey, this is a big building. I can't do it all myself. You know what also he could have done? Is just the next scene where he's holding down Detective Lance being,
he could have explained
hey, this
to
is
him.
A big building, I can't do it all myself, instead of, again, having to tell us twice because we are dumb.
Yep.
Like, okay, it's fine.
Yeah,
it's
and
fine,
using,
I give it to you, CW,
using the
fine.
Voiceover as a crutch, which is something that's going to happen from time to time if they continue with the voiceover thing. But I also said, you know, we'll get to it a little bit more when we get to the end of the episode, but they're setting up a little bit for us that he needs somebody. I mean, he says it himself that he can't do this alone.
Yeah.
So a very big part of this episode was that it was Oliver realizing that he can't just save the city by himself.
Yeah.
Right? All on his own.
Yeah. Yeah, and you, I love, there's, I mean, we're going to get it. I don't want to jump ahead of it, but yeah, yeah. It's beautiful in the exchange building. But so it's good. So Lance, so Laurel Lance, or oh my gosh, what's his name? Detective Lance. Yeah. I love that line where he saw the laptop and he's just kind of like, oh crap, he was telling the truth and now yeah. I have to deal with this. And,
oh, he is a good
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, he's yeah. like, gosh.
It's that, he's reluctant because yeah. he doesn't want to accept that this guy is doing his job for
yeah.
him.
Right? Yeah, exactly. But it's good. They have a nice dynamic going.
Yes.
And I feel like it's
going to keep trucking. It's very antithetical to the Jim Gordon Batman vibe where they yeah. work together.
Yeah.
So I think again, like they're doing these things because I think they realize that this could very easily just be Batman the TV series.
Yeah, of course.
Unless
yeah.
you do some things to distance that, right?
Yeah.
So he has a family. There's yeah. all he has friends that he has to deal with,
yeah.
and then his relationship with the law not quite so peachy.
No, it's so good. That's good. Oh, and you have the happy family at the stock exchange or wherever, the exchange building, whatever this
yeah,
is.
Yeah, whatever this
whatever,
is supposed
whatever
to be.
Sort of weird building is. And
fancy
then
room A.
Warren Patel. So it's clear then the cops obviously listen to him and they're going through all the units and
yeah.
which is good. And I don't know what I was going to say. I think I was Detective Lance was on screen and I was listening to him. And then you have Deadshot, who's like, "Yeah, I'm Unit 3. Like, good
yeah,
crack team of crack team of cops there. Why don't you have them in pairs, dude? I don't know. Have some sort of code system.
Starling City needs a bigger budget for
I
their
don't
cops.
Know. Clearly, isn't that like a thing that yeah. like all these bad sort of building or cities really need to understand their police force is
yeah.
woefully underfunded? So then you have Laurel and Merlin here and their moment. Of all the characters that sort of have their own separate storyline, I'm okay with this one right now.
Yeah.
Because it is leading... It's leading somewhere, I think. Like,
it's
something
it's establishing
it.
Some really important stuff for
yeah.
the future.
And it's genuine, I think, in a way that I care about. Whereas perhaps Thea mm-hmm. and her mother is something
yeah.
I don't really care about, even if that relationship is sort of important. This
yeah.
is a relationship that... I mean, because we haven't seen Laurel and Ollie together... This relationship doesn't threaten my preconceptions of who she should be with.
Yeah.
Which is something that I'm okay with
yeah.
this show doing right now. So I think they're in a comfortable place right now to establish this relationship, which is different from what they do in Smallville, right? This idea
yeah.
that, like, Whitney was there for one season as, like, Lana's boyfriend and then sort of,
yeah.
you know, shipped off to the army and stuff like that. So
yeah.
they really didn't have this idea that, like, no,
she's
supposed
Whitney.
To be with the...
Oh, man, you're bringing back memories with Whitney. I was
I
like,
know.
Whitney? Who's Whitney? Oh,
yeah.
yeah.
He's not Whitney. That's what I'm saying
yeah.
is that, like, they're establishing
he's
this
not
relationship.
A complication that
yeah,
you
he's not a complication that you just get rid of.
Yeah.
He's something that's like, integral to this storyline,
yeah.
which... And she's struggling through it, right? Like, this idea that she
yeah.
understands and she's talking to him straight face. She's like,
yeah.
Ollie knew and all this stuff, so... It's very interesting.
And they seem to have a genuine relationship themselves.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause we've got all this stuff with Oliver that's established, and all this stuff with Thea and their mother that's established, and with Detective Lance and the Queens, and so to have their relationship...
I love Detective Lance has two scoffs. He's like the
It's like
the,
it's a quota.
It's
like they have a quota. He has to scoff at least once an episode.
Oh, and this is so Ollie just had like two exchanges where he's like he's talking to Diggle right now. He's like, "Oh, he's got to do something. Something's got to happen." And Diggle's like, "What? What?" And it's this idea. He's like, "Oh, right. I heard a story on the radio." You just had two things where he just
yeah.
became Arrow with these two different people. Like with
yeah.
Detective Lance, he's like, "Thank you." Genuinely as the Arrow thanking him, and then
yeah.
the detective's like, "Scoff." Like, what? I don't
yeah.
understand. But then
yeah.
Diggle looks at him and is like, "Sir?" Like, he gets it that there's something...
Which you would think they were setting up for the long game.
Yeah.
But
you
maybe
know,
not so much.
In the 5 minutes that they wrap everything
yeah.
up in the end of this episode. Which was one thing I was kind of like, no, that could have gone on for a while.
Yeah.
Don't you usually have that with secret identity things? Like, that it has to go on for
it
at
does,
least, like...
But like I said, I feel like they're trying to get away from the...
Tropes
the,
of
Yeah,
of
that the stereotypical superhero
which
stuff.
Which would be nice. That's the one thing that really bothers me is
yeah.
this idea. It's like, what is the problem with everybody knowing their secret identity?
Yeah.
Like, what is, like, of the, at least the people in their immediate vicinity,
well,
right?
Iron Man 3 trailer tells you exactly what the problem is with not having a secret identity, because the bad guys will blow up your mansion. Which is going to make for a very interesting movie. But for not a very good long game.
Not a very good long game, but...
Right. We've got Deadshot shooting up the joint, and Oliver's trying to take care of everybody.
Yeah.
And Detective Lance is taking care of Walter.
Which is great.
Diggle's got his mom and his sister. So now Oliver is going to run off to do what exactly?
I know, right? No, in the garbage can, his arrow stuff is so stealthily in this garbage can.
It's a good thing nobody, chucked their drinker.
Gross drink in there.
Yeah.
That you didn't think that through. I don't know. He needs to start wearing the costume under his... I don't know.
It's not quite It's that works when it's spandex, yeah, but fair not... enough.
I guess pleather,
and then Diggle's kind of putting it together. And here's the zip line arrow again.
Zip line arrow. I don't know.
He's got a staple of arrow gadgets, which I like. That he's not just pulling out random
That's true.
It's not like 1960s Batman where it's like shark repellent spray, right? Like he's got something in his utility belt for everything. No, he has a set of tools. He just knows how to use them properly,
which
right?
Which is great. Oh, and I love it's coming up here, the scaffold fight. Yeah. I like that they're using, I don't know, they use these sets really
low
well.
Low-rent sets to huge effect.
And you get, his parkour stuff is really paying off. Like, you really get that
it is. They're good at it.
There's stuff on the island
well.
That he dealt with. Like, they have this, again, I say consistency of character. They have this consistency of character with him. Like, they're showing us things that we know we should know, but we don't know yet. And so it's great. I think that they're really... he's really growing into this role and this character, and they're writing well for it, and he has these exchanges with all of the bad guys. So I admire your work. So again, Deadshot talking out to this idea of professional courtesy, thinking that they're both in the same profession.
They're both super villains.
Yeah, it points it out to Ollie constantly, and he really has to fight for this idea that no, what I'm doing is right, which gets back to that idea of the amorality that he grew up with, this idea of what is the line, is it okay? It's okay that you're...
And there's one arrow and a thud.
Yeah, and you're like, ooh. I was worried. I was like, don't go near him, Ollie. He's faking. But then you said the great thing, it's through his eye.
Yeah, he shoots him right through the eye. And,
which, he's going to need a new eye now. Ooh.
Yeah, even though you would think that he's dead from that, but
you don't see it, right? Like, you just he doesn't have a chance to I love that he sees Diggle when he's already within shooting distance, and he's like, ooh, there's someone behind me, I should grab my arrow. You would totally be dead if that was someone that was shooting at you. But anyways, then you have this flashback again to him in the net, and the idea of being dangerous for one man to be alone. Oh, that's what you were talking about. Oh, I didn't get that previously, the idea of having a sidekick. So it's good. We get this.
And then he says, they'll kill you.
Yeah, and you're like, what?
And it's like, what? Who they?
Yeah,
what
who
they?
And you hear branches crunching, so someone's coming, and Ollie's like, what's going on? I'm going to follow this Dark Archer guy and get the heck out of this net. And then you see all of the... Do you see them now? Is that when you see them?
Yeah, we see...
And the
boots
and the back... Like, look at the black guns and...
These special ops guys. Yeah.
Like, what... What is happening?
Well, you know what? Deathstroke's with them. I'm almost gonna
Why?
Call that right
Why
now.
Why say that?
Because Deathstroke's a master assassin, and he's
so
a special ops type of guy.
Maybe Deathstroke is not. I don't know. Okay, sorry. Arrow now brought Diggle back to his home base because he's got poison bullets in him. But I'm kind of like, you knew you were going to a place with poison bullets. I don't understand.
Why didn't you take it
with
you?
Bring some of his antidote with you, but you know. That's just me being nitpicky of the episode. I guess it's a good way to introduce your... It's more of an excuse. I think this is the excuse Ollie was looking for. He acknowledges it as the excuse he was looking for. And you really... I mean, you don't wrap up a ton in the episode. Kill Deadshot and save your family. And then you're like, I'm the Green Arrow.
I like that they have the courage to just go ahead and say, we're not going to string this along.
No,
we're not going to demean Diggle's character keeping him in the dark for that.
And I love Ollie's just like, hey.
Yeah.
And
Diggle's
like, well, all right.
Because he's already started to put it together. And that's the thing, is that Diggle is not a stupid guy. We've established that in the first two episodes. And throughout this episode, he's catching on to the fact that something's up with Oliver.
Yeah.
So the idea that he would not understand what's going on, not start to put two and two together that you came back, this guy shows up.
Right.
Yeah. You mysteriously disappear.
And you can throw knives through people's eyes. Yeah,
and this superhero is showing up doing stuff every time you disappear. Right. You're never in the same place at the same time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, fair enough, yeah.
So Diggle would have put it together logically anyways, being that he's supposed to be his bodyguard, right? Yeah, like, he's with him every second of the day, ostensibly. So the fact that, like I said, they have the courage to go, we're not going to do that. Oliver's gonna tell him, and now
it's alibi. A team.
Now he's not like the whole, like, one of the through lines of the episode. And again, oh man, we really need to pay way more attention to the titles of these episodes.
Lone gunman.
I can't believe I just put that together.
Oh man.
And the Dark Archer says it's too dangerous for any one man alone.
Yeah.
And Oliver says, I can't do this alone. And like, all of these ideas of, you know, we need to stick together with the family stuff, and, you know, we need to be more of a family unit. And they're doing a really good job of making the episodes thematic.
Yeah, which is great. We'll pay attention to that next time. Let's see what the title
will be a little bit more cognizant of going into it.
So I think they're proving some things to me.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go out on a limb here. I feel like they're treating us intelligently as viewers with themes and, I don't know, Hamlet references. I don't know. I think they're doing an okay job with having layers to their episodes now on purpose, which, again, at the beginning I was a little bit unsure if that was on purpose, but now it seems like they really do have a through line going through these episodes and know what they're doing, so that's good. So I don't know. I'm excited to see where it goes. Hopefully they do stay in the same vein and bring us a little bit more of this dynamic, and I like that they're making choices right off the bat and they're giving us Diggle as a sidekick esque type person now.
Yeah.
And he's, like I said what you were talking, he's a good alibi, right? So, like, Diggle can be there without being there and be like, yeah, no, Ollie was at his club.
Yeah.
Or whatever. So,
yeah. Yeah. No, this episode really, more than any other one so far, has set up what the show's going to be. Because I think with the first two, we were establishing a lot about Oliver's character, but not necessarily figuring out where everybody else is going to fit into this.
Yeah.
But in this episode, we've discovered that Laurel can kick butt, and we've discovered that she's kind of on to Oliver a little bit. Not onto the Arrow stuff,
but
onto the fact that, like, there's more going on there than what he's letting people know.
Yeah.
And like, that he's trying to hide it from Tommy and that sort of thing. We now know where Diggle's gonna be at in stuff, and we're setting him up with a nice recurring villain character in Deadshot. Because when the Board of Shadowy Figures, the Cult of the Squiggly Line, when they show up. Because they're obviously the ones behind all of this. I think that if he had had the opportunity to dig into it and find out who hired Deadshot, I think that either his mother was involved in it in some way, or the person that she was meeting with at the end of the last episode is the one who hired Deadshot, so that Walter could purchase the company and make Queen Industries stronger.
But he was going to shoot Walter.
But he never shot at Walter. That's the thing.
Yeah, he did. And,
did he?
And Detective Lance saved him. Remember the little red mark was on him?
Oh, yeah,
but
that's
you're
right.
onto something,
right.
Because the idea of him having this Russian mob tattoo that I'm going to say he got on the island or somewhere near there. So he has Russian mob connections, and the Russian mob is the one that hired Deadshot.
Yes.
So perhaps there's something to do with these guys on the island, the Russian mob, and all of this stuff that could then be linked back to who killed who set up the boat to be destroyed.
Yeah.
Right? Like, maybe.
Well,
like,
I think Deathstroke set up the ship.
Oh, really?
I think that we're gonna find out those special ops guys, Deathstroke's gonna be one of them.
Oh.
And that those special ops guys are there to clean up any loose ends.
Ooh.
Right?
Interesting.
Because why else would there be special ops guys on this island? And I mean, granted, every episode we've gotten has revealed a little bit more of this story that we had no flipping clue about.
Yeah.
So, be prepared for me to be completely wrong, just like I was about the Dark Archer being his sort of split personality
thing. I love being wrong, right? I love
But no, it's good great. Because they're keeping us on our toes. And this episode has said to us, stay on your toes because you're going to need to, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
There's going to be a lot of curves. It's going to be very interesting we've got about, I think, 6 or 7 more weeks of episodes before they're going to go on break.
Ooh, so, nice. That's great.
So lots of episodes.
Now, I will point out something that always scares me when they have like a 13 episode run and then they get picked up for the rest.
Yes.
I hope they don't wrap everything up after 13 episodes.
Yes.
And they've only planned for their end of season or like their mid-season break and then they start anew. That really bothers me. Like, they've set up so many threads here.
Yep.
Carry some of them through.
Yeah.
Like, that will be the one thing that I'll be kind of disappointed is if they're like, we have all these threads. And you know what they can do? They can set up new threads halfway through this thread that then they then continue when they wrap up all these. But I feel if they've started with such a strong precedent, this idea that like, oh, we've given you a little bit of information and we'll give you more and more and more as it goes on. If they finally give us all the answers and then start with new questions, that's sort of storytelling that bothers me. Like, this idea that if you're going to set up a precedent to do that, make sure you sort of have the foresight. Oh my gosh. The foresight to do it constantly.
Yes. I think what we're going to get is the squiggly line folks.
Oh, right. Yes.
We're going to get a major development within the first 13 episodes with them. And a definite, like, a conclusion of a storyline.
Right.
With a nice cliffhanger on it.
Nice.
Because I think that they were pretty certain that they'd get a full season pickup.
Yeah,
I mean, the fact that they would have known beforehand going into this that this, like, the CW was expecting this to be a Smallville Vampire Diaries type of success, right?
Yeah, fair enough.
It was kind of a bit of a no-brainer. There's a reason why they did it, right? There's a reason why they went back to the well, why they chose the Green Arrow as one of the characters.
Yeah.
The character was incredibly popular in Smallville, so much so that they brought Justin Hartley on as a regular character in the last 2 seasons.
Yeah.
So for them to go, let's spin this off into its own thing, they wanted to do it with Aquaman, but Aquaman was such an untested
commodity, Aquaman is so expensive. That's the thing with Aquaman. It's so expensive to do that. Which I'm hoping maybe in the next 10 years it won't be because they can find alternatives.
Oh, that pilot was awesome and had a lot of potential, and Justin Hartley would have been a wicked Aquaman.
Yeah, I love
that. And I'm glad that he got to be Green Arrow, and I'd much more prefer it if he were Green Arrow now. But
Stephen Amell's great. I love
Stephen Amell in the show so far, but I really like Justin Hartley, right?
Yeah, me too.
And I feel for him because he just cannot seem to catch that
superhero ride. And now
he's
saving hope.
When I say that I would have preferred that it was Justin Hartley, I would have preferred that it was a continuation of the Smallville.
Right.
I think it is probably more what I'm getting at than just, you know, like, replace Stephen Amell with Justin Hartley. I got no problems with Stephen Amell after this episode. Like, he showed us in this one that he's...
Oh, he really is.
He's capable.
Oh, yeah. And I'll actually say the good thing is they can't ruin Smallville with Arrow, right?
That's true.
With having a spinoff is that you can then ruin Smallville retroactively, right? By, like, having that go...
I don't think anything could ruin Smallville more than season 6 tried to ruin Smallville. So it would take some really, really bad storytelling to ruin Smallville.
Okay,
because witches in season 4 and you're alone on that one.
No, they wear great outfits and they're all like, oh, yes. Anyways, let's stop talking about Smallville in our Arrow podcast.
No, it's never going to happen.
I know.
We're in the CW. We haven't brought up Supernatural at all this week.
I know, fair enough. And that's been ruined as well. All right. No, it's great. All of these, I feel like it's just the vein of these sci-fi shows, and they're close to our hearts.
Yeah.
Right? Supernatural is shot here too, isn't it? In Vancouver?
Supernatural?
Yeah. So it's good. We have all of these great CW.
Yes.
CW represent.
That's the thing, is that we're definitely very invested when we're like,
I know.
We're like, where is that rooftop?
I think,
there's the stadium,
and
there's the W, and there's the Scotia Tower, so where does that, let's just triangulate where the building is.
It's good.
At some point, maybe after season one's all said and done, we should do kind of like a video walking tour.
Ooh, that'll be like our summer thing.
Yeah.
We'll be like,
we'll take you guys to the locations.
You try to find that alley that he was climbing up in, because that looks, I'm sure that's one of those downtown alleys. Yeah. So it's good. We'll try to, that'll be a little tidbit that you guys can have during the summer.
Yeah.
Let's not commit ourselves to that, but it could be fun. It could be fun.
Cool. Well, I think that about does it for this week. If you guys have any theories, speculation, or any of that sort of stuff, you can send us an email, mail@quiverpodcast.com. You can jump on the Facebook page and talk to us there. Twitter. So you can find those. It's all Quiver Podcast. Facebook.com/QuiverPodcast, Twitter.com/QuiverPodcast.
Great. Send us anything that we missed. If there's things that you want us to talk about, this is great. Thank you for the comments. We really appreciate it. You can also follow us personally. I'm Amanda Konkin, so my Twitter is @AKonkin, AKonkin.
And you can follow me at Arkwulf, ARKWULF. And you can, through those, you'll hear all about our other crazy adventures and what we do and the ridiculous things that we talk about. So, that does it for this week.
Thanks for listening again. I'm Amanda Konkin.
Michael Cohen.
See you next time.
See ya.